Blog Talk Radio
presents the Blog Radio Show. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we are back. We are back, and we love being back. And I hope you're all enjoying this fabulous fall, early fall weather. This is my favorite time of the year, September and October. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's just right. A little bit of Goldilocks. That's the one I want. Anyway, I want to say thank you real quick to our guest last week on the 13th, Mr. Billy Vera from Billy Vera and the Beaters. We had a lovely evening, played some great music from his fabulous career over the decades. Decades, folks, not just from at this moment, decades. The man's been in the industry since the 60s, so unbelievable. And we had just a wonderful time. But tonight we're gonna talk to a wonderful woman that I've never met before, however, but we're going to have a great time. We're going to talk about behind the scenes in the Emmys with the show of business, where we talk about the sponsors regarding the Emmys. So we've got with us tonight Tabitha Starker, and Tabitha is a Emmy Award winner herself, has been nominated for two Emmys, and is also the head of business development for the Daytime Emmys. So let's welcome Tabitha to the show. Everybody, Tabitha Starker. Hi, Tab. I cannot speak today. Tabitha, I don't drink. I had two drinks today, and that was at 11 o'clock. I had two Bloody Marys, and I'm still a mess. So forgive me. I don't feel well. It made me feel crappy. I feel like crap. That's why I don't drink. I don't like it. Anyway, Tabitha, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Are you kidding me? Let's start. I have this question to ask you. What did you win an Emmy for? Was it for the actual show, the production, or what have you won Emmys for? Well, been nominated for as well.
Both of my, the win and my nomination was regional Emmys, and it was with our, the first one was with our local PBS station, WFYI, and it was called The Widow's Journey. And the second one was with Pet Pals TV, and I won an Emmy for a story called The Sammy Stoner Story.
Very nice. Very nice. Congratulations. Now, tell me what does the head of business development do for the Daytime Emmys?
Well, it's, you know, I think at the Emmys, the role itself is to take care of our
business
clients, both to pursue new business and then also to take care of the new business. And I think it's important to realize I work for the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, which means we do the Daytime Emmys, we do the Sports Emmys,
All of them.
The News and Documentary Emmys, Children's and Family. And so those are all very different relationships, different sponsors. And so whether it's pursuing or taking care of them, it's kind of multifaceted what you do in your role. And then I think also it's important, I think a lot of people are surprised when I say this, but at the Emmys, we're a very small team. And so it is very much one of those things that you sort of jump in and do what you're needed, what's needed of you, right?
Yeah.
So what I do for the show in terms of what is required with my job versus what I actually
are
wind
two
up
separate
doing
things.
Absolutely. Right, right. I'm part of being part of a small team, but it's also a great experience too.
Well, thank God they're not all held at the same time. At least you can, grab one at a time and focus on one at a time. You know, I did want to ask you, how did you do during the pandemic? I know they were done online, and how did you find that in comparison to the shows that are done on air, on TV? That must have been a big shift.
It was a huge shift, and it was I'm going to say it was a learning experience, but I also think in the most half glass full type way, it was something that we got a lot out of the shows that we did in 2020 and 2021 in terms of just realizing the things we can do better. I think, we had these green rooms online, and we actually had them in, we used Skype at one point to do it, and so you had all the nominees in these green rooms virtually online. And one of the things that I learned as I was a green room producer was how much the nominees like spending time with each other. They don't really see it as they're competing with another person. They were so
celebrating each other.
Engaged with each other and celebrating each other. And so when we would announce the winner, even though they can't be seen on television, I think a lot of people think, they clap because they're, the camera's on them. No,
yeah.
I mean, the nominees, even though they remain in these digital green rooms and oftentimes, you can't really see the person and you're not being watched. They're celebrating each other. They're wishing each other luck when that person comes back into the green room. They're congratulating them and they're hearing their stories and they're exchanging information. And it was really, really wonderful to see the support. And I think that they enjoyed that from each other as well, because I don't think they get the chance to do that. When they come to the shows, usually they go to the cocktail hour and then they wind up sitting with the people from their station, not necessarily the people that are nominated. From other their networks, right? And so I think it was really an opportunity for them to bond and get to know each other. So I thought that part was really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, you don't see it normally on TV because they only show them when they're nominated, like, and then they shoot the camera to that person. And if they lose or whatever, I hate to say win or lose, because I'm so glad when they said, and the Oscar goes to, or when the Emmy goes to, instead of saying, and the winner is, I was glad they changed that.
Yeah, I think that when you're nominated, and I know that's sometimes a hard thing for people to hear, but what I'm getting ready to say next, but when you're nominated, it truly is, it's a big deal to be nominated.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very big deal. I mean, the competition for these awards is, it's literally some of the best in the industry that you're competing against. And just to be considered and be narrowed down
to
you and a handful of people is huge. Yes, it's an honor. Absolutely.
You've already won, really, to be nominated.
Yes. Yes.
Right. That's how I feel, too. That's how I feel about it. Let me ask you this now about the online thing, since we're talking about that. Is it cheaper to do the production online versus TV, even including with the sponsors? I mean, obviously, it's got to be cheaper instead of getting a venue and all that, or should I say less inexpensive? And do you see that maybe possibly being the future of shows being done that way, or it was just a one-time thing because of the pandemic?
I don't know that I would go quite that far in terms of speaking directly about the award shows. I think there are shows that are obviously done online. I don't know that I would go as far as to say that they'll move to that. Now, in terms of the first part of your question, though, is it cheaper? Oh, yes.
Right. I would think so.
Considerably less. The overhead is considerably less. What I would say is that I do think that we're moving, and it's kind of a slow process, but I think we're moving in the direction that as we realign how we're doing the shows. And media is changing so fast, both with how the networks work and how they buy. And most of that is being triggered by a lot of the streaming companies that have come out, right? But, you know, with the industry changing at the rapid pace that it is, I do think there will be a time that the sponsorships will be on a level that it's still as beneficial to have an in-person event. Yes.
Right. Right.
Now
well,
I think
everybody... Go ahead. I'm so sorry. Interrupted
you.
Oh,
no. I was going to say, no, I think now you're moving into a space where, because of the competition, and when I say competition, you now have media buys being able to happen through influencers, right, who are not necessarily household names. They're very targeted towards certain demographic and age groups and things like that.
Right.
So now that you can do advertising in that sort of way, a lot of what people are buying is an experience, and those experiences are about being there in person, right?
Right.
So I think that's changing the game a bit.
Yeah, well, and then you don't get the glam, the glamorous fanfare of an actual live show at an event at an actual place where is what we're all accustomed to. However, you know, times are changing, so who knows? Like you said, maybe down the line that'll be strictly it. How I gotta ask you this before I ask you some other questions that were given to me to avoid speaking about one thing that we can talk about, which we can't talk about. So, if you know what I mean. So,
yes.
How long have you been doing the head of business and development for the Emmys or all the shows?
About 4 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. No, I
2019. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought maybe you were doing it for a really, really long time, because I had a question about, especially since September 11th just passed. I believe that it was the only Emmy show that was canceled. I could be wrong. And I'm curious to know what happened with all the money that was spent. I mean, you got money from sponsors, you rented the place. I mean, what happened to all that? Do you know or no?
I wasn't here then, and I'm not privy to that information. I can't speak to that, but I will say though that I'm the first head of business development in a very long time here at the National Academy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry. That I guess in September 11th just passed, it dawned on me. I said, and you were coming on. I was like, you know what? I wonder if she was there when they had to cancel. Am I wrong that was the only show that was ever canceled?
I can't confirm or deny that. I apologize.
Yeah.
I didn't do my homework on that.
No, me either. I just remember at the time that it was canceled because it was so close to it, or it was on it. I don't even remember exactly at the time. But, yeah, I was just curious to know, since we're talking about the behind the scenes, about sponsors and everything, I was curious to know what happened. Did we have to give them money back, all that, or did we keep it till we could air the show when everybody thought it was okay to be happy again? You know what I mean? I don't know. Whatever. So, yeah, I was curious to know that. But now let me ask you this. So how important, obviously it's very important, is the roles of sponsors and advertisers for the show, and how has it changed in the last, you know, you've been there doing it for 4 years, but it definitely has changed over the years. I recall commercials, I could be wrong on this too, I recall commercials only running like 15 seconds. And now, like, they're, what, a minute each now? I could be wrong with that, too. But anyway, how has it changed over the years?
I think, so I'll take that question in two pieces. So
yeah, I gave it to me. Sorry.
Yeah. I think they're both really good questions. In comparison to even 5 or 10 years ago, the landscape as a whole in the entertainment industry shifted when the streamers jumped in, You had the streamers that jumped in. You had social media that became
right.
a powerhouse. I mean, now you're getting media. For the most part, people get their daily fill of
right.
media
yep.
on social media, or they get it from their streaming provider.
Right.
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 And so whether they choose Hulu or Amazon or whatever it is. And so when those came into play, what you have is, you know, if you're an advertiser or a sponsor or even a big business that's just looking for brand engagement, right? You know, 10 years ago, you were really choosing between the ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox of the world.
Right.
You know, the three or four players, right?
Three stations. That's it.
Yeah. So if you're spending $1 million, you're going to choose one or two of them, and they're going to get a big scoop of that money. Now
right.
you're looking at 15, 20 outlets, right? I mean,
yep.
you've got all of the streaming platforms. You have, you know, people on social media who we refer to as influencers who have millions and millions of followers. You have people with bigger followings than you have shows that air on major networks who have
mm-hmm.
viewers, right?
Right.
And so... And most of those folks have very targeted audiences. So if that's your demographic, they're a lot less expensive because they don't have overhead. They're paying for their internet connection at home, right?
Exactly.
And so now you see that budget being divided between 15 or 20 outlets, it's very likely that you will get none or very little of that. And
yeah.
so that change in the dynamic has shifted this industry dramatically.
Right.
So when you ask what is the importance, which is the second part of that question, of sponsors and advertisers today versus back then, it's dramatically changed because their importance has went up, and it's not just a greater importance to the network and a greater importance to the streamer, it's a greater importance to the creator. So the writer, the director, the producer, because when you create a product and you're looking to pitch it and get it on air or get it out to the public, oftentimes now you need to have sponsorship or have some way of bringing revenue to the table when you pitch it, when you take
right.
it in. It's not just about here's this great idea, here's this great script, here's this. It's here's how I can bring some financial weight to the table to help pay
right.
for the pilot, to help pay for getting this going, right?
Right.
And so that has changed the dynamic and shifted the power position of sponsors and advertisers dramatically over the last decade.
Mm. And the difference is, now these streamers, I've never watched it streamed by one of these influencers, as we say. Some of these influencers are influencers for the wrong reasons or for stupid reasons, but whatever. We'll move on from that too. But I mean, at least when you're doing the show on TV, you've got it behind you with a celebrity image as well, like with the step and repeat, right? If you've got the step and repeat behind you with the logo of the product or the company, you've got that celebrity there, where a streamer doesn't have that, or do they?
So I both agree and disagree with, yes, there is a lot of influencers that are not necessarily, that aren't necessarily the best image, right?
Yeah.
But there are a lot who are celebrities or at least have the power or pull. I sometimes hesitate to use the word celebrity because of my age, right? That's just not what I knew growing up as a celebrity. But the truth is that they do have the power and they do have the following of
millions.
Celebrities, right?
Yep.
They
yep.
do. And so oftentimes when you look at the engagement level that they have, it can be on the level of an A or B list celebrity. It can. I mean, a lot of them have millions and millions of followers, and they absolutely,
exactly.
they're called influencers for a reason. They do influence,
everything.
The buying decision. Things. Right.
Yep.
for whatever, demographic that they are have following them. And I think to that point, when we talk about the age thing, which I'm the one that brought it up, but
no, I agree. That's why I'm asking, because yeah. I'm older too, and it's like, to me, I mean, back in the day when you were had talent or whatever, you worked hard to get it, you know, to get where you were, and now it's like, oh, just talking to people online. I mean, look, I'm doing it with you on here online. You know, anybody can do it. Anyone.
Which is a good thing, right? I mean,
it is.
Because then you're getting so many more voices and so many more opinions and so many more thoughts. But I think too that it's as these influencers are coming in, because it is more of a new thing, right? The audience that they have attracted is going to age, and they are going to become the generation. As all of us age, right, our lives become stable, our income becomes more favorable, we become, you know, family-oriented, and now we're taking care of other people. And so I think all of those things, as they occur, if we stay on the path we're going with media and it doesn't take another shift, which I, you know, that could happen as well, then I think you are talking about having influence in so many more buying decisions, you know? And you're going to be seeing a lot more products go in the direction of doing partnerships
the online.
With
online. Yeah, that's absolutely the way it's going.
100%.
Yep, that's
100%. And I think that will, you know, as the online influencers and online shows continue to grow, I think their partnerships and sponsorships will continue to grow, 100%. So
now do you work with those folks too? When you get the sponsors, are you reaching out to these influencers and doing advertising with them too, get with the sponsors, or no, you just strictly stick with the show itself that's on TV?
Well, we have a streaming platform ourselves. We have an OTT platform. And so, you know, we do have, you know, if you want to watch the Emmys, you can go to watch.vmes.tv. And you can also find it on our website. But most of what we do in terms of any type of promotion or any type of engagement with representation, so that someone's fronting a product, is usually with someone who is a nominee or a former nominee or on one of our shows. That doesn't mean that that won't change, because more and more we're getting streaming shows are nominated, right?
Right.
So, you know, do I think that that can be something that is brought into the fold and begins to be a part of what we do? There's potential there, yeah.
Right, right. Well, I think you might have answered my next question. I was going to ask you, how do you guys choose who's going to be the celebrity to endorse the product? And obviously they must get a cut of the payment from the sponsor, yes?
It depends. So choosing someone...
Or they just get a nice swag bag. Or do they just get a nice swag bag?
So the Emmys is a nonprofit ourselves. And so a lot of what you see when you do see someone doing an endorsement, it is usually one that is based around, so for example, Coca-Cola is a wonderful sponsor of ours, and Elle Duncan from ESPN is now a spokesperson for Coca-Cola, and that came about because we have a foundation where we give grants to students who are looking to get into this industry, and Elle was someone who fronted the grant and gave away the scholarship at the sports Emmys for us. And that developed into a relationship for her at Coca-Cola. And I think that was, she still comes to our shows and does the grant. And so I think a lot of people look at that and think, you know, that's an endorsement deal. And in some ways it is. But it certainly started out here at the Emmys in more of a way that was about bringing to light something good right?
Right.
Something that is just about media. At the
right.
end of the day, when you do media, it is about changing people's lives. When you're telling a story and you're entertaining people, it should be, in my opinion, something, and this is strictly my opinion, but something that is for the good, right?
Right.
It's something that brings a positive thing into life. And so a lot of times when we are looking for someone to front a sponsor, it typically is something that we are doing that's special. It's not just about giving a trophy or a prize to a celebrity. It typically is something that is either, you know, DE&I related, or it's something that is promoting the next generation or our foundation or those types of things. And so
nice.
A lot of times the people that do it are people who genuinely do a lot of that stuff themselves. So
right.
While we're on that topic, huge thank you to Elle Duncan for everything that she's given of her time to our foundation, because she's done so much of that philanthropy work with us. And I think she probably does a lot of that as well in other areas of her work and her career.
Right. Well, this might be a stupid question. How important is product placement in when there is a show with the sponsors?
Oh, I think
obviously
placement,
very important.
Oh, it's huge. And they
exactly.
love it. I mean, they absolutely love it. I think product placement has become the new ad, the new advertisement, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, when I was a kid, I won't say when I was a kid, if you're watching TV, when the commercials come on,
you are crazy. Tabitha, you're crazy. You are thinking the same things as me. I was going to say when I was a kid, if it was a box of cereal, they have tape over the name, right? Is that where you're going?
Well, they did that, but what I was saying was when I was a kid, I never saw the commercials because that was your chance to run to the bathroom, go get chips, beat your
right.
sibling back to your spot again, right? So
Yeah.
You have, and nowadays you have the opportunity to buy plans with your streamer where you don't have to watch the commercials, right?
Right. Just
so
bypass it.
Has now become this huge thing because, to your point, if you don't pay for the product placement, they often make sure the can of soda or beer or whatever it is turned around, or there's tape over
right.
or whatever it is. So, I mean, that product placement, if you're spending your money for product placement, then what you wind up with is no one's running out of the room when their favorite character's on television, you know, on date night.
Right.
And
they
want to
see
sitting
it.
There, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you want to see it. So, and of course it leaves this lasting, you know, impression on you of whatever that is, right? Whatever feeling that scene triggers. And so I think product placement has become a huge part of television and streaming, because I think we have went to a space where people can pay to miss the commercials. They don't have to use that as their bathroom break anymore, right? They can
right.
go buy them.
Right.
I think product placement is absolutely, it's not only become a big thing, I think it's going to get bigger. Yeah
it's paramount to it. It is. I mean, if you're going to advertise, you want product placement. I mean, hey, if so-and-so uses it, I'm going to try it. It's that subliminal messaging. So, you know, for years, the entire, our whole lifetime of watching TV, that's what commercials were made for, right? So, but
yes.
Yeah, it's so funny. I remember as a kid watching TV, they'd change the name of whatever. If it was, like you said, Coke, they'd call it something else or whatever. Or, you know, they just put an extra letter in there and change it so they didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one, so you don't have to pay for it, but two, you know, there's also if the sponsor is not paying to have the product in the show, you also can't have the product in the show. There, you don't have a license
right.
or a release for that. So
right.
when you said earlier that, you know, if someone fronts a product, you know, they obviously get part of the money. That's not necessarily true. 100% not. So we're a nonprofit, and we don't necessarily do that. For one, that's why we usually attach anything like that to something charitable that we're doing. But it often can develop into a relationship for that spokesperson with the product. And I say that to say, sometimes when you see the product on air and it's turned around, or they've changed, you know, the can to say a different name, it's because they're not allowed to do that. Because maybe the actor or actress, it has a deal with a different car maker.
Yes.
And they can't be seen promoting something that's not, you see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of dynamic to having someone, whether it's for charity or not for charity, front something. One, you do have to make sure they don't have other agreements, make sure you have releases in place, make sure that, you know, as a nonprofit, you're doing something good with that. And or if it is just straight promoting that product and not goodwill, right, or a grant or something like that, you do have to figure out how whoever's doing that is going to be compensated. And so that can get very, very complicated. And often, to be honest, in my position at the Emmys, I don't always have the details of those relationships.
Right. I wanted to ask you, now, you said when you were younger, you know, as a kid, you would run away and get your snack, whatever, go to the bathroom. That's usually what we did, you know, but were you ever influenced by any commercials that we saw growing up? I have two that I did something crazy about.
I think the ones that influenced me the most growing up, that's a really great question. Probably if I had more time to think about it, I could come up with something else. But I think when I was young, the ones that influenced me the most is it would often make me, when they would advertise a toy that was related to whatever I was watching, you know, if I was watching, if I was watching Transformers, which I loved Transformers when I was a kid, when Star Wars, right? So if they would advertise something associated with that, then yes, you know, that was sort of a thing. But I think for me, watching television and seeing the ads usually just triggered me. I think as even when I was young, I always had this thought process that I realized how many people that reached. And so figuring out a way to be a part of that and reach people with things that I felt was important was, I think that was the most impactful thing for me. Yeah.
I used to love, remember around the holidays, they always did the toy commercials. I loved that time of year when they did the toy commercials.
Yeah.
They were great. They were great. I had two commercials that I, don't ask me why, I don't know how old you are, but I was a kid. And do you remember Janitor in the Drum? It was a cleaner.
I don't know.
Well, they would slant. It was about the size of a can of beer wide, and it looked like a drum, like a barrel. And they put it down on, when they put it down, it made a sound like a drum barrel hitting. So I said, oh, Ma, you got to buy that. I want to clean with that. I just wanted to see if it did it. That was that one. And then there was the Zest commercial where the woman's taking a shower and they take her eyeglasses and they put it with the soap, and they did Zest on one side and another name brand, I don't know what it was, and proved that Zest came out clearer on the lens and the other soap left the film. And I said, Ma, I need glasses. mind you, we didn't have a pot to piss in at the time. My mother's struggling, raising six kids on her own, right? And So she takes me to get glasses. I pretend that I needed glasses. I get the glasses, and I'm in the shower taking this test. I was like, oh, my God. And after that, I never did anything with commercials again. But you know what I missed, too? I know I told you. I told you it's going to be crazy. Right? So I don't really watch too much TV anymore now that I do the show, and I cover concerts and everything. I do catch a lot of stuff online if I need to see what's going on. So are infomercials big anymore, or did I miss the boat on that? I don't see them anymore.
I don't see them much anymore myself. I think
I loved infomercials.
Yeah.
I did.
You might
I wanted to buy
only one.
No, I wanted to buy whatever they were. If it was a good thing, if it was a good infomercial and it was a good product, I wanted it, you know. Am I easily influenced? Maybe, I guess, right? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Do you watch the Shopping Network?
No, my sister was addicted. She'd be ordering all the time. Oh, I can't watch stuff like that. No. I couldn't watch anything like that. No. I would be on there. I don't know. I've seen her watch it, but the things I've seen her watch, I would never have ordered, but she ordered things like crazy. But is that even around anymore? Is that even around anymore? QVC and the Shopping, is that even around?
I don't know. QVC, but I do. I think there is still a Shopping Network, but I'm not going to go out on a limb and try to identify what it is. No.
Yeah, I have no idea because, like I said, I barely watch TV anymore, so it's just crazy. But yeah, so okay, I had a little fun with you there. Sorry about that. Now you worked with some big companies. I mean, Fortune 500 companies. I mean, you want to name a few, and how did you get those deals? And do you hope to continue those deals? And
yeah, I mean, I think we have developed relationships with some of the biggest and brightest people that work at these companies. And, you know, I say all the time that people do not buy products. People buy people. And so when you do business development, it's really about relationships. And we have some great relationships with companies and organizations who understand what it is to partner with a nonprofit. And I mentioned earlier, you know, what it's like if you are a spokesperson for one of our products. It usually is as a nonprofit. It has to do with our foundation. It has to do with that kind of thing. And so a lot of our partners are involved with us because of the work we do. I think when people think of the Emmys, they think of us as these big red carpets and the things that we do with celebrities and the trophies we give. And that is a huge part of what we do, obviously. But, you know, we partner with some of the best culinary in the country that have been around a long, long time. Biltmore Wine and Four Roses Bourbon and Coca-Cola and Nestle and some huge media companies, Amazon and YouTube and, you know, all of these companies. And when we partner with them, it's activations that, yes, is a part of our show and, yes, celebrates the wonderful talent that is out there in the media and the changing landscape of entertainment, which is incredible right now. But it also supports our foundation and what we do. And I think the one thing we are so fortunate in is that because our sponsors come to the table and they participate and they help us with our foundation and they help us with the things that we're doing to change and impact the lives of young people, then you automatically have some of the biggest and best talent in the world who come to the table to represent them.
Right. They want to get involved. Yeah.
It's such a great mix. And that often develops into relationships for us here at the Emmys, and also into independent relationships for the spokesperson. And so our sponsors are absolutely, they're incredible. And I don't mean that as like the brand. And while I obviously
think the people you work with, the people.
But the people, yes, the people there, they get it. They get what we do. They are the folks who really understand that they are representing a big company with a massive amount of money. So let's do something good with it, you know?
Right.
And I value those relationships, both with the people who are spokesperson for a lot of what we do and for our brands, and also with the brands themselves, because I think, you know, too much is given, much is required, right? And, I heard you say a minute ago that you were raised in a big family and a single mom and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest impactful things for me when I got my job here at the Emmys was I remembered sitting at that regional event, thinking that there's no way I would actually win because I was so fortunate just to be there and be nominated. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I grew up, in a small town. We didn't have a lot. And I was a kid with dyslexia. And to be sitting in a room full of journalists who are some of the best storytellers and writers and creators, you know, in the world, that in of itself was huge to me. But when they called my name, it was massive. I mean, it changed my life. And I became head of business development. And because of that experience and how much it meant to me, what I do for the Emmys now, yes, I want to bring, you know, all the things that we need to the table financially, but I also want it to make a difference because it made such a difference for me.
Yeah.
It made such a difference for me. It changed how my life has went professionally, but it was also it was a huge personal win for me. So, and I love to see that for these kids.
Yeah, and I would. Well, this is stupid to say, but anybody who wins or is nominated changes their career as well, like in general, not just
absolutely.
Like for you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think winning an Emmy for me definitely has opened a lot of doors, one of which
Excellent.
Is the seat that I'm in now, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this you don't have to answer this question, but when you were talking earlier about, you know, being involved with, you know, obviously it's a nonprofit and you're dealing with all these major companies. Do you think that you would be as successful if it wasn't a nonprofit? If it, you know, would you have such easy accessibility to these large companies if it wasn't a nonprofit?
I mean, I'm the kind
Forget
of person
that it's
that
the
I...
Emmys. Forget that it's the Emmys. Because if it's the Emmys, they're coming anyway. They're coming anyway because it's the Emmys, right? But if it was a nonprofit, do you think you'd still get these Fortune 500 companies to get on board? I mean, you've been doing this for a while now, and that's what I wanted to ask you. How did you get such a great reputation with all these folks, too?
Wow, okay. Well, The first part of the question is, do I think I would still be successful? The answer to that, I think
not you, not
be,
you, not
yeah.
you successful. I mean, do you think these companies would be involved if it wasn't the Emmys or if it wasn't a nonprofit? Not you. I know you'd be successful. Let me rephrase that.
So the answer to that is yes, I think they would be involved, but I think it would be on a different level. And what
I
mean
I
by that
so.
Is, yeah, I think it would be, I probably wouldn't be working with the same people inside of the big companies. And
right.
I also think that it would be much more, I think you would still have some of the big fortunes and some of the big companies, but I think it would be a different mix of them, and I think it would be a different line of their business internally, if that makes sense. So I think it would be a different relationship. Yes.
I think
then,
so too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think, because I do think, and this is such a good thing, and it's a good time to bring this up, so I'm going to, but I think for years, decades, it's been talked about corporate responsibility. And yes, there are so many corporations who they don't necessarily step up and they aren't necessarily taking that, but there's so many who do that are taking it seriously. It's just like when we're talking about fronting products. There are so many celebrities now who, yes, they build these relationships with these companies and they do get paid and they should get paid.
Yeah.
But there's so many of them that use their face, their voice, and their audience now to endorse and promote ability and the people that do well and the people that are giving back to people who have less. And they too are, in essence, then giving and sharing of what they have just by lending their voice and their face to it, which, you know, I think cannot be understated.
Absolutely.
Because we are finally reaching a point in society where corporate responsibility now is the understanding that if I'm a celebrity, if I have this platform, in and of myself, I am a brand. And
right.
There's space for me to give that back. And I can't say enough about how many of those people we have. I really, I couldn't even go down the list of how many people do that. And
yeah.
I just, you know, it warms your heart when you see them do well and they're successful because they deserve it. So,
right.
Yeah, so I say that, and then I say, in terms of your second question, how you, you know, how do you build or how do you get a reputation in business development?
Yeah.
I think most people are good. I really believe that with all my heart.
Pardon
and
me.
I think getting the opportunity to work with fortunes and to work with most celebrities and to do these things, that opportunity, if you're willing to work hard, it will come.
Yeah.
The key in building that reputation is not getting the opportunity. Most people will give you that.
Right.
The key is that you have to realize it's not something that you build and then you just say, I made it. When you do business development, that is a brand or a name that kind of scares people because it reminds them of sales. And when you say the word sales and you're investing in something else, there's automatically a mistrust. And what you need to realize is that it is a commitment that you make to maintain that relationship every single day.
Yeah.
Right? Getting the relationship, that's the easy part. Being an active participant in that relationship, because at the end of the day, business development is, if it is anything, it is the art of building relationships.
Absolutely.
And I will say again, worth mentioning, again, which is people don't buy products, people buy people.
Right,
and
right.
To be good at what I do, you have to remember that. And you have to remember that at the end of the day, you're going to make mistakes, things are going to go wrong. You need to be a good person and take responsibility for that because you're dealing with someone's money, which means you're dealing with their family, their reputation, their all of those things.
Everything.
And that's how, that's how you not only build that reputation, but most importantly, maintain it.
Let me ask you, what was your first big get? And that must have been some high, and must have that been your driving force to go get more big ones?
Wow. Here at the Emmys, or in my career?
Your first big get when you were started, and you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I just got this. I just closed this, you know, I just closed this deal. And it must have been a huge high. And then said, I can do more. And you did, you know, in my opinion, that's what I think happened.
Yes. I think my first big, I graduated college and I'm still, you know, working, you know, temp jobs and things. And I landed a job with an up-and-coming company that wound up being an amazing, amazing company. And when I landed that job, you know, I thought, oh, it's going to take me forever to land my first big client. It's going to take, it's going to take forever to get this done, you know. And it didn't. And when I landed that first client, I think I had the perfect person to train me because she was someone who trained me not necessarily to sell someone a product, but to make sure that you are selling yourself and that you as a person are saying to them, I'm going to you know, under promise and over deliver for you, right? And
yeah.
So when I landed that client, that's what I had done. I had promised them what I knew for sure we could do. And I knew
yeah.
I had all this other stuff that I could give them. So the high I got was that I am going to way over deliver for them. So when I walked out of there with that business, I knew that I didn't just land that account. I just built a relationship where I am going to blow this out of the water, and
right.
they are going to make all kinds of recommendations for me. And I was right. I built a book of business there, and I became one of the top salespeople at that company.
Wow. Yep. Yep. Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you. Yep. Success is best, right? Isn't that great?
Right.
Unbelievable.
Well, yes, I think success is best as long as you're making sure the people around you are successful, right?
Right.
That's when you're successful.
Yes,
yeah.
And then that's the meaning of success. You're sharing that success with others that they can be successful as well. So, yeah, it's just great. Isn't it just amazing how the advertising industry or sponsorship, all that, has changed so much since the 50s, 60s, 70s, I mean, 80s,
oh, yeah.
even up to now. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing how it seems so much more important now than it ever has to me. I knew it was always a big deal, you know, see this product on TV so that they could sell it and people go out and buy a Coke or whatever, you know. But it just is huge now. It just seems so much bigger now than it was growing up, to me, my personal opinion.
I agree, and I think that's because nowadays you don't necessarily see people doing just, this is my product, and so I want you to know. You know, we've worked with Delta Airlines, we've worked with Adidas, we've worked with,
yeah.
I've named a lot of our business clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, you say, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're not advertising with us, they're not sponsoring our partnering so that you know who they are. When I say Delta Airlines, you know who Delta Airlines is.
Absolutely,
when I say Coca-Cola,
right.
you know who they are. They're
right.
partnering with us because they want to do something meaningful, and what that is for them is it's to elevate their brand. It's to separate
right.
them from everything else. It's
right.
the corporate responsibility thing. It's for the things that are now not just, hey, here's this new thing. We don't see as much smaller companies that are really trying to tell people who they are. We see a little bit of that, but I think that separates what you were talking about. It's become so much more important now because back in the day, you only needed to advertise if people didn't know who you were. Now
right.
the competition is so massive that even if people know who you are, there you don't have a competitor anymore. It's kind of like we
right.
talked about with the big networks. There's not just three. There's
no.
15 or 20 places where you can get information. And it's the
yeah.
same thing with just about any product you name. Any product
mm-hmm.
you name.
Right.
Back in the 50s and 60s, even if you think of soft drinks, there wasn't very many soft drinks back then.
No.
There wasn't
no.
very many airlines back then. There wasn't very many, right? So you only needed people to know what you did, not what you stood for, not that you give back. You make all this money. You want to make sure people know you give back. You don't need to do, you didn't need to do any of that. You need to do that now, right? You do. People care nowadays, and I'm going to say it for the third time, people don't buy products, they buy people. They care what you do with your profits. They care who you are. They care who they're doing business with. They care what they buy. They care. They care where they're spending their money. It matters. So people aren't just advertising that this is what we do. People are advertising and saying, this is what we do with our profits. This is what we stand for. This is, and that has changed the dynamic of this, of how this is done. Yeah. In a good way, in my opinion. I think I might have lost you.